T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time for our weekly chat with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. You can hear him overnights right here on 610 Sports Radio.
And there is a lot going on in the world of sports. We got the beanball incident going on. We got the NFL Combine going on. And Ben, I mean, we've got this Combine thing taking place, and there's not a real lot of news coming out of there. What is your best NFL story, and what is your best non-NFL story that you're kind of following of the week in the NFL Combine?
Yeah, well, it's good to be out with you guys again. The stories I've liked the last 24 hours, the one about the Redskins, who are like, hey, maybe we'll draft a quarterback, even though they drafted Dwayne Haskins last year because they're trying to get somebody to trade for the number two pick. That's always good. And the 6 degrees of Tom Brady, he's replaced Kevin Bacon, as literally every NFL insider has tossed a different scenario out. The most craziest one I saw was the one that said that Drew Brees is going to have a problem with his contract with the Saints, and the Saints are going to sign Tom Brady to replace Drew Brees and bring him in. I mean, they're just throwing spaghetti against the wall, hoping something sticks.
Do you think Taysom Hill would be okay with that if they brought in Tom Brady and tried to replace Drew Brees with him and not with himself?
Well, listen, Taysom's a franchise quarterback, so you would be an offensive thing for Taysom Hill. He would probably demand a trade, even though I don't think he's signed, so I don't think he can demand a trade.
No, I don't think he can either. But, yeah, the Tom Brady stuff has been wild, man. I mean, the Tennessee stuff, the L.A. stuff, the Vegas stuff. Yeah. I mean, like it's all over the board, and I'm under the impression of if you're in the AFC West right now, why are you going to waste your time going to get Tom Brady? Because you don't have an opportunity to win this division for at least the next decade with Patrick Mahomes here in Kansas City. I don't think it would behoove these teams out West to try to get better, to try to get Tom Brady, to try to upset the Chiefs, because it's just not going to happen. It's basically going to be a roughshod run like the Patriots has had last 20 years over the AFC East.
Bob, are you on the meds today, Bob? What's going on? Listen, so they should trade all their draft picks for like 10 years from now when Mahomes is getting a little older, and then they'll be all right. But, yeah, listen, I don't think it makes any sense, but I go by the gambling market. You know, we've talked about Brady a lot, and if you go by what the gambling market says, there's an 80% chance that he stays with the Patriots. And I think ultimately they'll get together and they'll go into a room, they'll talk it out. And now Brady's going to flirt with everybody else, but the idea of him going to the Raiders and the Chargers seems absurd. The only one that makes somewhat sense is the Tennessee Titans, because they got a pretty good team, but Tom Brady in Nashville, that doesn't seem like a good fit. So I think he'll end up staying with the Patriots for another year.
Giselle shouldn't want him there with all those bachelorette parties.
That's true. That's right. That's the number one destination for all those kind of parties. That's a great town, actually. It's an up and not even an up-and-coming town. It's arrived, like the real estate market, there's a whole young people vibe there. That's a good place to live, Nashville.
So Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, big names by the moment keep coming out against this CBA. Do you think we'll have labor peace anytime soon?
Yeah, because there's the NFL owners are geniuses. Right? I don't know if they're geniuses, but they know that all you need is more than 50% of the vote, and there's more people that are on the low end of the pay scale, right, as everyone's been pointing out this week, than the guys that make a lot of money. I think there's like 120 players in the NFL that make what is considered to be ridiculous money in the entire NFL, about 120 players. But there are 2,000 players in the NFL. So for most people, if the raise is between $90,000 and $100,000 a year. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not getting a raise anywhere close to that. year after year, and they're talking about the next 10 years minimum raises of $45,000 a year for the low-end players in the NFL. So those guys are going to vote. I loved what Richard Sherman said, though. Richard's like, well, you can't put a price on players' health. And my counter-argument is not only can you put a price on players' health, it's $5 billion, which is how much new money the players are going to get for a 17th game, and they're going to, the owners are going to use that money to pay out the extra money to the players. But absolutely, all that noise the last couple of years about player safety and all the players were concerned about were player safety. Well, it turns out, as we've always known since we were kids, everyone's got a price, and so the NFL met the price, and so we're gonna—they will ratify the deal probably by this weekend.
Well, you know, the NFL owners know they're kind of negotiating with you know, guys who don't believe in themselves enough, and I think these NFL players need to take stock in who they are and what they contribute to the NFL. They're the product, and I think the NFL owners have done an unbelievable job of convincing the players that they're not the product, and the players have done a good job of believing these owners. Like, the owners have done a great spin move on this, and they're claiming all of this new money is going into the players, but they're making them work more for it. You know, it's like you're not really getting new money because you're adding work hours, you're adding days to the week, you're adding games to the schedule for these players. So while they think they're getting more money, they're actually working for that money in order to get that new money. It's not really new money, it's just extended money because they're adding that extra game onto the schedule. And the NFL owners have got people convinced, wow, we're doing all this great stuff money wise for these players, when realistically, they're not.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, and here's the way I would answer that. I mean, this is just the beginning. You know, 10 years from now, if we're all, God willing, still doing this kind of work and we're still talking, they're going to put an 18th game on the schedule. I had a conversation with Fred Dreyer, the old NFL player from back in the day. He's like an actor now, and he told me when he was playing in the 1970s and the 1980s that the owners then wanted to go to an 18-game schedule. They went from 14 to 16, but their ultimate goal, we're going back, you know, this is 50 years ago, and the goal then was to go to 18 games. So it's taken a long time, but you got to think in another 10 years or so, they're going to propose to add an 18th game, and that's how they're going to keep adding money on and give the, you know, 10 years from now, whoever's playing in the NFL, Mahomes and everybody else, they'll give them more money. That's just the plan. But as far as the players not believing in themselves, there's reason not to believe in themselves, because most of the rank and file in the NFL, the low-rung players, don't last more than a couple of years. So you got to get the money while you can get the money. And if you make, you know, $500,000 a year, it's not a lot of money compared to the, you know, Mahomes, what he's going to get, and these other guys. But you can still, if you save that money, that's a pretty good start to your life if you're 23 or 24 years old after a couple of years in the NFL to go out and do something else.
Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio. You can hear him overnights here on 610 Sports Radio. He's also forced you to Google Fred Dreyer so you can find Hunter references.
That's right. That's TV's Hunter, yeah.
We are throwing at Astros in spring training. Will that carry over to the regular season?
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, and I like how they're doing it because a lot of the hard-o baseball people are like, well, these are just, you know, pitches that are slipping.
Yeah.
They're breaking balls. They're not intentional. Well, that's great. Keep doing that. I'm fine. I don't need these guys to have fastballs thrown in their back. But if you want to continue to nickel and dime, I don't know if that's the right phrase. The phrase I used on the overnight was the paper cuts, death by a thousand paper cuts. If you want to hit Alex Bregman in the back on the nameplate with breaking pitches, you know, 40 times this year, I'm guessing by October he's going to have some bumps and bruises on his back, even with breaking pitches. So, listen, I think it's great. The fans' reaction has been wonderful in Florida. And this is on baseball. Rob Manfred did not punish these guys. And so baseball's fans, and hopefully the players, are going to take care of this on the field.
You know, with this going on in baseball right now, I think this is great for baseball, as we've talked about in the past, and I think it helps out the sport. And then I see the Major League Soccer owners yesterday come out at whatever media conference they had saying that they believe soccer is going to pass baseball by like 2025 in popularity in the United States, and it will be better. MLS will be better than the EPL by 2045. And I'm thinking, you guys are drinking delirious syrup over there trying to think that it's going to pass baseball and the EPL. But this was Buck O'Neill wrote a book, said, I came at the right time, basically. I arrived at the right time was basically the title of the book. I think the scandal with the Astros, though, has arrived at the right time for Major League Baseball. They needed something like this to kind of jumpstart their sport a little bit.
Well, listen, it's not a bad thing. I have, you know, talked about baseball a lot. Usually people get all upset. They're like, oh, what are you doing? You're still talking about baseball. You should only talk about football. But with this Astros story, I feel like it's united people that used to be baseball fans that aren't really into it as much because it's a scandal. We all love scandals, right? Mm-hmm. Who doesn't like a scandal? This is the biggest scandal involving cheating in baseball since the Black Sox, although obviously it's different because they were cheating to win, but it's a massively big deal, and it's got technology involved in it, espionage. There's a lot of really cool layers when you peel back the curtain on what's going on in Houston. But as far as the soccer thing, Bob, the only thing I'll say about that, when I was a kid and I played AYSO soccer, I remember the people that told me then, this is a long time ago now, that soccer in 10 years, they said, when I was a kid, they said 10 years is going to become one of the mainstream popular sports in America. And while soccer certainly is much more popular than it was when I was a kid, it's still really at its peak only when the World Cup's going on. And the rest of the time, it's still a niche sport. So they've been saying that kind of stuff for 40 years that this is going to happen, and it never does.
Hey, you're absolutely right. Ben, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week. Enjoy the XFL Week 4.
Yeah, can't wait. Thanks, guys.
Ben Maller with us here on 610 Sports Radio. Catch him overnight right here on the station.
Fred Dreyer also was the sportscaster on Cheers.
That's right. Forgot about that.
Sam went and filled in for and did the infamous groin.
You're dating yourself now, too.
Groin injury.
So. Yeah, hope you don't get a groin injury today at the 610 Combine.
There's a chance. There's always a chance. We're going to run 40s later today.
Run through the finish line, Bob.
Good day to have beers with the boys, though.
Yeah, and absolutely. We'll show up drunk.
Go around a 40. At 8, one of our guys had a great invention. I never knew this story. Also, coming up, one of the youngsters is dealing next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
The second annual Raytona 500 is tomorrow. We'll be out at Extreme Grand Prix in Raytown beginning at 6 o'clock. We have all the field registered and ready to go. Just maybe, though, if you show up, you might have a chance to race. We'll be there beginning at 6. Prizes from the West End, Rye, Apex Barbecue and Brewwares, breakfast from Old Shawnee Pizza, Dunkin' Donuts bringing by breakfast as well.
The 610 logo donuts, man. I can't wait to see them. That's going to be a lot of fun.
And even if you're not in the race, you can come by and get yourself $6.10 races to use at a future time limit, too.
Right.
So you can do that even if you're not in the race tomorrow. Get yourself some discounted races at Extreme Grand Prix in Raytown.
You can also come by and hang out with some former Chiefs as well. Sean Barber, Kevin Lockett, Chris Penn are going to be there. You can take pictures with them, and that's all free of charge. So just come out and hang out with them, get some autographs. And also, if you want, like Josh said, get some of those $6.10 races because that's a hell of a deal, man. That may be the best deal tomorrow in Kansas City on anything is a $6.10 race at Extreme Grand Prix. So come on out, snag yourself a donut, get a piece of breakfast pizza, meet some former Chiefs, get some autographs, and buy yourself a $6.10 race.
There you go.
Sean Barber going to be there. Is he not going to participate in the combine again this year? Is he ducking us?
I don't know. Is Joe Mays going to be at the combine this year? We could have anybody at the combine, or did they just kind of like show us up last year and they're like, we're out. We don't need these guys.
Yeah, we don't need to go.
I like Joe. He helped with the bench press.
He really was motivated.
He was like super encouraging to all of us when we were unable to lift heavy weights for.
I don't even know if it was that heavy.
No, I think it was just the bar. But no, Joe was really good last year. He was there, and that's how I got turned on to the Leia Center and his cryotherapy because I pulled my hamstring last year like a dope in the 40-yard dash, and the cryo fixed that thing. It was great.
I easily did 5 more reps on the bench press because of Joe.
Because of Joe Mays, yeah. Come on, man. Come on. You got this. You got this. Yeah. Like,
he added 5 to your bench press?
At least.
What did you do, like 12?
I don't know. It wasn't.
He
might have been 5.
So he added those. So he would have had 0.
Yes, I would have had 0 without Joe's encouragement. Yeah. So I hope Joe does.
He's one of
today.
The best guys out there, man. And you didn't want to let Joe down last year. Like, that was one of those deals. Like, I'm not letting Joe Mays down. This man played in the NFL, and he's encouraging me to push up this 30-pound bar. We didn't even use the 45-pound bar. We used the 30-pound bar.
There was easily 25-pound weights on both sides of that bar.
It's at least 50.
I think it was like 125.
Was it?
Like that.
Was it like
I felt very, very strong.
Carrington got 1 rep, so that was good.
Well, he's he's not even participating this year. He's on vacation, so like he's not even going to be out there this year. So we can beat his.
He's
reps.
Holding out of the combine.
He's holding.
He's holding out.
He doesn't think it's going to help his draft.
He's going to just do a pro day.
That's you right. have my tape.
Yeah,
yeah. He's going to do a pro day later. Yeah, we have your tape of the bench press last year.
He's going to do a pro day.
It was bad. one of the youngsters was dealing yesterday.
Oh
Fesco.
My God, was he dealing?
Brady
yesterday?
Singer against the Cubs.
Good Lord.
The Royals lost 8-0, but it wasn't Singer's fault.
No.
Two innings, no runs, three hits. And struck out a pair.
Yeah, but not even that. Go back to the first inning when he pitched in the first inning. Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javi Baez are all up against him, and he gets ground out to the top three in the Cubs order, and then comes back in the second inning, and this is where you light a menthol if you got it, because Jason Hayward singles, somebody else singles, another guy that you don't know singles, and so he's got the bases loaded with nobody out, and he comes back and he strikes out Albert Almora, comes back and strikes out Jason Kipnis, and then gets some guy named Nico Horner to ground into a force out at shortstop to Nicky Lopez. And so he gets the bases loaded with nobody out and gets out of that inning without giving up a run. And I tasked you guys yesterday with looking at the box score of this game between the Cubs and the Royals. I said, just look at the pitching portion of this box score. Okay, you're going to think like I'm a total baseball dork for this, but there's a reason why I ask you to look at it.
That's what you do in the spring. You look for individual
Spots. Performances. Yeah. Okay, so Singer, Lynch, and Kowar all pitched in that game yesterday, okay? Singer pitched two innings, Lynch pitched two innings, that's four innings, and Kowar pitched five innings, okay? Between the two of them, they gave up, or between the three of them, I should say, they gave up zero runs, okay? They gave up three, four, five, six hits, okay? They struck out two, four, five, and had two walks. So 5 Ks and 2 walks. 5 innings.
You're doing this high-level math over here, aren't you?
No, I'm trying to make a point here before I cough. 5 innings, 0 runs.
Correct.
5 Ks and 2 walks, and they lost 8-0.
Yeah, that's why I said don't worry about the 8-0 loss. Tim Hill and Jesse Hahn were on the
Tim Hill, Jesse Hahn, and Scott Barlow
were on the hook for the runs.
Right,
the kids all pitched well.
Like the guys that you're not going to be and Richard Lovelady even came in and pitched a third of an inning and got out of it without doing anything. The guys that are going to be your future and the guys that matter in spring training, like sorry Jesse Hahn and Tim Hill and Will Barlow or Scott Barlow, I don't care about what they do. They're not part of what we're trying to develop and move forward with. Those are the guys that got rocked. The young kids, the Singers, the Lynches, and the Kowars, the guys that we are going to be looking at and really putting the organization in the hands of, brilliant yesterday. Awesome yesterday. Did their job yesterday. And so, yeah, they lost 8-0, but the guys who gave up runs may not even make the club this year. The young kids went out there and dealt yesterday.
You mentioned Singer facing Bryant, Rizzo, and Baez to start things off.
How about that?
He discussed facing the big namers.
Obviously, when I heard their names, I was just, all right, here we go. But no, it's definitely cool. You know, that's awesome that I can go out there and get to pitch against those guys. You know, they're obviously big names and they've done a lot, you know, for our sport. So it was definitely awesome to go out there and pitch against them.
I think it's kind of funny when you hear okay, now that I settle in and I see who this is, all right, let's go out there and get these guys out because this is no big deal. And you know, when you play in Mesa for a Cubs spring training game, when you have that opportunity, everything's like mini Wrigley Field there. So you're kind of pitching at, you know, at Wrigley Field. They've got the Wrigley Field set up. They got the Go Cubs Go music playing in the background. It's a Cubs game. And you went out there, and I don't care if it is spring, and I don't care if it is Arizona. He went out there and boom, boom, boom at the top of the order of the Chicago Cubs, big-name guys who have won world championships. And Brady Singer went, yeah, how about this? We're coming at you.
Dare I say that's the most real spring training park?
No.
Think Mesa, it's the best atmosphere?
Yeah,
and
it's
got more of a feel than any other spring training location.
I mean, you go to Florida, the Yankees got their mini Yankee Stadium. The Red Sox have cheated and built the mini Fenway, you know, down there. Some of the places in Florida are more kind of conducive to what the big league ball. But you're right, in Arizona, I think Mesa is that is the
there are
the
tons of fans there all the time,
and it's sold out. Yeah. And like it's a big crowd, third deck, high sky, hard ground, all that kind of stuff. Day to game after a night game.
Not saying 9,336 is like a, you know, 40,000.
No, but it's a sold-out game.
It's packed house. It's as close as you get during the spring.
Yeah. I mean, you got to go to StubHub to buy tickets to go watch the Cubs play in spring training. Like, that's the type of ticket that it is. Like, people want to go see those games. You're not playing in an empty ballpark or someplace like that. It's a packed house. And he did it yesterday against guys at the top of the lineup that are legit major league players. And I hate to say this and I hate to rush this, but, I mean, the further we get into spring training and the more we see out of these guys, Josh, the more I'm looking at it and going, why not just put him in the opening day, put them on the opening day roster and let's go. If they're ready to go, let's go. And so far in limited outings, I get all that. They've looked really good, but what are we waiting for? Like, why are we saving these guys for good? If they're ready to go and they're ready to rock and roll, I'd rather see them pitch than Hill, T, and Barlow, W, and whatever number 99 is. Like, let's go. Let's do this. Let's give the ball club the best opportunity to win, because Hahn, two-thirds of an innings, giving up four runs all earned, that doesn't do it for me. I don't need to see him in Kansas City, right? Do you?
No.
I mean, I'm fine seeing Tim Hill.
I'm not.
For what he's going to do, yeah. I mean, he's a
three runs, three earned yesterday, and that 27 ERA. Like, I don't know. What do I need to see him for?
Mike Matheny
a fixture in your bullpen.
On Singer's performance.
I thought Brady did a great job. Obviously got his back up against the wall. I don't know if you could be put into a better test for his second game out here in Major League spring training. And to come out, get a couple strikeouts, get the soft ground ball, that just showed a lot of what we were hoping to see, a lot of what we know about him. But you know, it's just a different atmosphere here. But it was a great job. Good offense he was thrown against, too.
The Cubs trying to get at Matheny in his Cardinal background with a little "Go Cubs, go" in the background.
Yeah, it was good. No, but the Cubs—that's what they do. Yeah, their spring training is when they win, it's Wrigley Light.
It's a party. It's good. It's a good time there in Mesa. They've said that they need to have these guys, like, you know, mentally ready as much as anything that the physical. But when you hear them speak and all those, it sounds like they get it.
They get it.
So that's the cool part of it. And then Dayton Moore has also said, we're not afraid. If they force our hand, they force our hand.
Right.
So they're going to get the opportunity and a long opportunity to get here sooner rather than later.
I mean, and I think they're forcing the hand right now. Good. I think they are. I think it's definitely Brady Singer is.
At 8, your chance to win tickets to see Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, and Joan Jett at the K. Pretty good prize coming up at 8 o'clock. Coming up, Hunter Dozier says, why not us? Why not now? Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Chick-a-chick-a-chick. Fesco, you and I yesterday were talking a little bit on the air about it, but maybe more so like off the air, like the expectation level with this Royals team this year. I mean, you see it around town talking to people. I mean, there's not a lot of optimism that this is going to be a great season.
Well,
right?
I think there should be optimism for this team.
And I point to last year, and the record wasn't good, but you looked at that team and you're like, they should have won more games.
Absolutely, they should have. Yeah.
Like that,
and they know that.
The season they had, especially offensively, for a number of players who broke out last year, should have equated to more wins. Now they have to figure out a way to do that, to get the individual performances to mesh together to get W's, right?
Sure.
That's kind of the next phase of it all.
59 wins, in case you were wondering.
I mean, that should not have been a 59-win team last year. I know they had some bullpen issues.
I mean, but even with the bullpen issues, Ian Kennedy still saved 30 games last year.
Yeah, and
he saved 30 of their 59 wins.
You know, they did have, you know, kind of were missing a starter almost all year, at least or whatever. And they didn't have a lot. They had some gaps in the pitching. I'm not saying that everything was set up to be perfect, but the way the offense took a step last year individually.
Sure.
And then you add in Salvi.
Right.
And then hopefully you're going to add in Mondesi.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully you'll get him for a full go.
Right.
And maybe you get the young pitchers, a pitcher or two.
Mm-hmm.
That creeps in at some point, and you'd like to do it now.
I would, and that's no knock on anybody that's there, but these guys seemingly are better than just about everybody that's in the rotation.
But it could happen at some point. I feel like, and then Mike Matheny, kind of the new voice and the new message and the new kind of urgency that we've heard from him.
Right.
I think you should expect more. I don't know that it will end up being that.
Right.
It could be another 100 loss. I hope it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the expectation level should be a bit higher.
No,
we should be expecting this team to win more games than they did a season ago. When, as Ryan pointed out, 59
wins. Like, I couldn't have told you what their record was last year.
I just knew I watched that team and I'm like
59-103.
They should have more W's than that.
I mean, because you look back to some of those ball clubs in the early 2000s that were 100 loss clubs. They didn't have nearly as a talented team as what was on the field last year. You know, for this Royals ball club, and so they severely underachieved. And I think a lot of that had to do with the message that it was about development and not about winning. And I think that's where Mike Matheny has kind of hit the ground running with this. When you say, what kind of difference does a manager make? The message that the manager is sending is what you're going to kind of, acquiesce to be, I guess you could say. And I think with Mike Matheny, it's not about developing these guys anymore. It's about getting wins and getting, decisive victories for this ball club. And I was just kind of going through, their pitching rotation right now. And I'm looking at it like, obviously Keller is your number one and Danny Duffy is your number two, but isn't this ball club better?
I like Junis.
And Junis is number three. Mike Montgomery's listed as four, and Glenn Sparkman's like your number five. Like Glenn Sparkman, sorry, Sparky. Like, I would, if Brady Singer is going to be ready in May or June, why isn't he going to be ready in April, right? Like, that's the question that I think baseball fans ask, all the time. And so that's why I would break camp with Brady Singer in your starting rotation. In fact, I think Greg Holland right now has a legit shot at making this club in the bullpen. Why can't you move Danny Duffy out to the bullpen, where I think he's going to be dominating, and have a 7-8-9 of Holland, Duffy, and Ian Kennedy, and go with that as your 7-8-9, like
HDK.
I think you would feel really, really good as a fan
because we like that
going in that
right.
route.
We still like that, right? So
no, it's not even about that. But you need a 7-8. The Royals have proven you need a 7-8-9 guy. They started that trend, right? So let's get back to that trend and make that 7-8-9 the best it can possibly be. And I love Duff in the rotation, but I love him even more in the bullpen, because I think if he can dial in for one inning, boy, he could be just electric out there in the bullpen. And then next year, when Ian Kennedy's contract falls off, then Duffy can move into that closer role. And I think Duffy would be an amazing closer for the Kansas City Royals. Just, hurl back and fire everything you got for one inning, man. I think that's a good spot for him. And so that's why I would start that process now. Make that bullpen as great as you can, because there's nothing worse than having a lead going into the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning and then losing it because you can't get guys out in the last three innings of a game. And so you got to make that as strong as you possibly can, like the Royals did in 14 and 15 when they were just crushing people in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings.
I do wonder how much, like, talking ourselves into it we've done about last year's team, because you especially, Bob, like, I've heard you're really optimistic about this team this year, right?
I am.
And you keep saying, well, last year's team should have had more wins. I think they were better than the dark era Royals, things like
that.
Don't
you think they were?
I think via the eye test, yeah, but I think on paper, when you look at it, like, last year's team scored 691 runs, okay? 2004, 2005, 2006, when you lost three straight years of 100 lost seasons, you had 720 runs, 701, and 757 runs. Offensively speaking, you had a much higher output from 04 to 06 when you lost 100 games a year than what you had last season. So I think that there has been a little bit of, like, talking ourselves into some of these young guys and this young talent. Jorge Soler was a huge part of, like, what made you, from an optic standpoint, be like, this team's much better offensively. And I think with Merrifield being there, like, there are some nice pieces to it, but I think there has been a little bit of, like, talking ourselves into
how good these guys are. Salvi last year, too. And I think that's a huge loss.
That may be the underachieving. They couldn't score runs either last year, too. But I'm saying Witt.
Right.
Soler hitting home runs.
Right.
Hunter Dozier's legit.
Yeah, Hunter Dozier's legit bat, like, in your lineup.
You did some things last year to prove, like, okay,
Mondesi's a legit player.
I see that. Yes. Mondesi, who we've been told for a number of years, right?
Right.
And I was kind of stepping back and like, is this going to be... Now you just have to figure out how.
Yeah, keep him healthy. The guy's awesome.
I'm not going to say Lorenzo Cain numbers, but Lorenzo Cain-like. Like, if he can only stay healthy...
Once he passed
that test, you're like, oh my God, this guy's really good.
Yeah.
Mondesi's in that same camp for me. So Yeah, they have to figure out a way to score more runs. Score more runs. A simple game, right? Score more runs.
Right.
And win more games. But I see those pieces there, which led me to say the whole time, you underachieved.
Yeah.
Last year's team should not have been a 59-win ball club.
And they know they underachieved. I mean, we talked to Hunter Dozier about this, and I flat out said to him, I go, you guys underachieved last year. And he goes, yeah, we did.
Yeah, no, we were very disappointed on how last year went. You know, we have a lot of talent in this locker room, and we really believe in this group. I mean, getting Sally back is huge. Hopefully Mondesi will be here ready to go by opening day. But, yeah, no, we have a ton of talent. We have a lot of, you know, our pitching's looking really good right now. So, yeah, no, we're excited, and we're ready to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think that's the attitude that you need to have. Like, you need to understand that if you were part of last year's ball club, man, that wasn't good. That wasn't good. You guys did not do what we paid you to do last year. They didn't. They just didn't. And they know that. And they're admitting that. And that's what Mike Matheny is saying as well. And that's why I think it's going to be much better this year, because they went, look, God, we stunk last year. We weren't good last year. Okay. Let's go. Let's stop embarrassing ourselves with 59 win seasons, and let's go. And sometimes that's what it takes, Josh. Sometimes it takes you doing some inner soul searching of yourself and going, I don't want to be part of that anymore. And if that becomes the message that every player is delivering and every player is believing, and as we talked to George over the years, and he says, if you believe you're going to win, you got a 90% chance of winning that night. If you go there thinking you're going to lose, you ain't going to win that game. So if these guys believe now that they're better than they were last year and they're a good ball club and they expect to win every night going in, then the results are ultimately going to follow.
Doggone it. Let's get some people to like him. Dozier.
I'm a huge fan of what's going on with this ball club.
We asked him what the goal is for 2020.
For the team, I mean, I'm not going to put a number on how many wins, but, our goal is to make playoffs and make a run. For me, just honestly do whatever I can to help this team win and help this team win every night. I don't really like to put, stat goals for myself. But I just want to, continue to get better and help the team win.
Now, you can say every year, getting the playoffs is a goal, and sometimes you can roll your eyes or whatever,
sure.
But why not make that the goal? I just feel like they shouldn't be putting any limitations on what this season can be. Like, I've seen enough of the individual numbers. Now, piece it together, figure out a way to translate that, not easier said than done, into wins.
And it's better than having him sit there, though, Josh, and go, well, we're just going to take it one game at a time. Like, you've set the goal of the postseason now. Like, you've set that as a goal, okay? You've got to set goals. Okay, how do we go about achieving those goals? But if you don't set goals, like, if you set, go, oh, I just want to be a little bit better than we were a year ago, and, blah, blah, blah. No.
No, in 62.
Right.
Yeah.
Our goal is to make it to is to make the playoffs. Our goal is to make the playoffs this year. And that's something that is coming from Mike Matheny. That is coming from their manager. They're already taking on the personality of their leader. And I think that's a great thing, because I believe in Mike Matheny and I think he's a great leader, and everything that he said and done so far has been absolutely awesome for this ball club. And I love the fact that he said, our goal is to make the playoffs. He didn't say our goal is to be better than last year. He said, our goal is to make the playoffs. Okay, you've set that goal. Now let's put into place a plan to help you achieve that goal. And I think they're doing that down there. He also told us the best camp they've ever had, the hardest they've ever worked, the most they've ever done. That was really cool to hear Hunter Dozier kind of reflect on what they've done so far, what they've done in years past, and how this camp has a different tone and a different sense to it than anything else he's ever been part of before.
I am curious to see just how, like, a change of the message will affect this team, because, like, I think in most recent times, maybe like when the Twins were in the cellar, right, and then they hired Paul Molitor, and like the very next year they were playoff contenders. Now, granted, they didn't do well in Molitor's second year, but I think just the changing of that message, and look, like, as much as we want to give Ned credit for a lot of things that happened here in Kansas City, I do think that there was a bit of complacency at
sure.
the end of Ned Yost's tenure here in KC. Like, he was just kind of going through the motions, and hey, I want to get these young guys ushered in and kind of show them how to do it. But, like, it's no longer a learning at the big league level type of thing. And I love the message that Mike Matheny is sending. And I think it's the right type of thing to kind of spark some changes in guys if you genuinely believe they can do better and get more out of those types of guys. Again, I think about the, recent vintage. What was that, 3 years ago the Twins had Molitor?
Yeah.
And they were a playoff team. Like, that's the type of turnaround that I think some people are expecting out of this. Now, look, is it going to happen is still yet to be determined, because you know where I fall on this, sure. Bob. I don't think that there's enough bullpen help for you to really do it. And that's been the bugaboo over the Royals last couple of years anyway. So, you know, I think the message just being changed and Ned Yost, again, no knock on Ned, but I think that at some point when you know you're on your way out the door, there's some complacency there. There's some, hey, you know what? That's fine. It's okay. Big guy, pick yourself up. We'll get him next time. Like, there's some of that mentality that comes with it. And I'm happy to hear someone finally step up and go, no, we're not going to allow it. It's not going to happen. If you're screwing up, go sit your ass on the bench. We'll get somebody else to do it.
Well, and I also think having Rusty back on this organizational coaching staff is huge. I think having that attitude, that positive view every single day, and not just that, but his teaching abilities as well, I think it's huge having Rusty back on this staff.
I'm just willing to have optimism.
Yeah, why not have optimism? Why not?
Like, and Ryan, you could say there's bullpen issues, quite possibly, but also if these young cats come up, right? Then you're forcing some of these others maybe to the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you strengthen your bullpen that way. You mentioned if Holland has a big, what if Holland can find something?
Right.
And you got Ian Kennedy. And what if Duffy's at? Suddenly your bullpen's a lot stronger.
A lot stronger.
If you're able to do that. So hopefully, you know, that push also helps in other ways, not just the starting rotation, but maybe the back end too.
I think a lot of success and failure this season, if you want to use those two terms, is going to be impacted by these young kids and as soon they can get into that rotation.
You can check out the full interview with Hunter Dozier in the on-demand section, 610sports.com or via the radio.com app. He joined us at 6:15. Coming up at 8:15, spring training drama is getting very good. Next, your chance to win Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, and Joan Jett tickets. And maybe the kid will work with them. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.